Sledgehammer with Dua Lipa, Houdini ahead of that one, 17 minutes past 11. And as mentioned earlier, Gavin Ferguson is going to be my guest for the latter part of the Dave Charles Show on Radio Life and Style. On the Dave Charles Show, the world gets small. Is in the house. Welcome to you, Gavin. It's been a while, I think, since last we had an opportunity to catch up, but you have been a busy boy because you're one of the hardest working musicians in the country, I think. You play all over the place. Hey, what's with Gavin? Let's find out a little bit about who you are. Where do you come from? Where did you grow up?
Thank you very much for the compliments. I appreciate it. I think passion does definitely override talent and hard work. I'm definitely not the most talented musician in Durban, but I do try to work hard.
Are you talking about talent? Talent is sometimes only part of the mix of what defines a successful working musician. I mean, you've got to have talent for sure. But, you know, there are those that get gifts of vast quantities of talent that they absolutely squander. And then those that don't have as much, but they work very hard with what they've got and they become very successful. Is that your experience? You say you don't have it. I know you've got lots of talent. Did it come easy to you or do you have to work?
Songwriting came very easy to me and guitaring I had to work a bit hard. But singing was the hardest working part of what I do. I had to go for voice training. I wasn't a natural singer, but I eventually got into it. And then eventually my ear tuned into what was in tune, what was out of tune. And I had to work really hard on that.
I'm amazed because I didn't think that you could be taught to sing. I was of the opinion that you either had it or you didn't. And in fact, it was my son Dan. I have two sons. One has natural talent in spades and the other works hard. And the one that works hard didn't have much of a singing voice, I thought. But he wanted to sing and he went for lessons and blow me down, he sings. So you're quite right. He worked hard, you worked hard. Going back to the early days, is this something that you always wanted to be a musician?
I think so. From the age of 16, I realized I really enjoyed music. I hadn't been exposed to live music, so all I knew was playing at home and writing songs came very naturally. It just no one ever showed me to write songs. I always just did it. It started with poetry and then it evolved to songs.
And you discovered at an early age that the guys that play the songs and that write the beautiful tunes or the poetry and get up there. And do you find that it gave you a social advantage, shall we say?
No.
Oh, no.
No, it was hard work.
And you were doing it wrong. You see, the idea is that you, in a room full of strangers, you get up with a guitar and you start performing. You become the most attractive oak in the room and the girls are killing themselves to get to you. You didn't find that.
No.
I must come and speak to you later. You're doing it wrong.
Please teach me. I'd never found that. I think, that's a whole, even live music, you know, getting up on stage is a completely different skill to singing. That's a whole different avenue of working a different muscle.
Okay, well, let's go back a little bit. So you, at the age of 16, decided that music was for you. You had to work at it. How did you get to perform your first gig?
I had a friend invite me to open mic. He used to see me play all the time and sing. And he invited me and I got up and I completely messed up my first open mic song. And it was a terrible experience, but something about it I loved. Even though I played horribly and I missed chords, just something about it drew me back and I had to go back and do it again. There was a time I was singing every single night at every open mic that was ever available, like five to six days a week, just open mics where I could.
And that takes some doing, eh? Because some days are diamonds and some days are stone, and it's awful. People that don't perform don't realize just how vulnerable you are when you get up in front of an audience and the mic is live and there you are. You're literally out there on your own and you're bearing your soul. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, it's that crushing, awful. And to get up again and go out one more time. Wow, does that take courage? Well, luckily you have that, and we're going to take a musical interlude now with a tune by a fellow called Gavin Ferguson. Have you ever heard of him? The sound of Gavin Ferguson, my special guest on the Dave Charles Show, coming to you live from the center of Bolito, 25 minutes past 11, a tune called Falling For You. Nice production, wow. Oh, hello, I've got to give you a microphone. I forgot in my excitement. In fact, I didn't even switch on the now we can go because that song is absolutely smoothly produced. It's well produced.
Yeah.
What am I talking about? You know, people that don't listen to the space between the notes, etc. It'll be, you know, I suppose one of those. But who produced that? Where was it done?
I'm so glad you asked because I was about to punt them right now. So it was done by a guy named Marcus Els, who was in Durban and he moved to Joburg. But an incredible producer. He worked with some top names. He did Trezor's first album and Toy De Lazy.
I was going to say there's a kind of Trezor sound going on there a little bit. It's an influence. I suppose it is a genre or a style. Very, very lovely. And I'm going to ask you a personal question now. You say you're not a singer or you have battled to become a singer.
Yeah.
Those notes were spot on. So how much of that is auto-tune?
No, just a lot of takes.
Really?
So I tried.
Do you ever use auto-tune?
Yeah. Well, it's not so much auto-tune, it's Melodyne, which you refine the notes afterwards. So sometimes when I sing, I got a little bit of a wobble. So we just cleaned up those wobbles. But the nice thing I loved about working with Marcus is he pushed me to hit the notes to get them as authentic as possible. So he just pushed take after take, which is nice about studio. You know, you can take as many takes until you get the right one.
And the falsetto bit as well, all
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. No auto-tune.
You perform live, do you, presumably, you've got these wonderfully recorded tracks and it sounds so gorgeously full and spectacular. When you perform live, though, you're man alone, are you?
Yes. So I do have the help sometimes of a loop station so I can loop the guitar and fill it out a bit. I like to stick to just guitar and vocals on my gigs.
So you're not one that goes with a big click track and the big recording in the background and then you sort of do karaoke over the top?
So I find in live music, whatever you enjoy doing live, people enjoy. So I'm not one that enjoys playing backtracks because I like to reinvent the songs as I'm playing them live and the backing tracks stop you. But I've seen guys get a party started with backing tracks. So I think it's if you enjoy doing it, I just don't enjoy doing backing tracks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Each to their own and clearly there is a space for all. I've always been, I suppose, old-fashioned in that respect that if you're playing, you must play. None of this backing tracks and I'm singing and pretending. Because it is a bit of a pretense. I mean, I watched a live performance and I am going to mention, it was Jesse Clegg in Bolito. And I thought, wow.
Oh, he's good, yeah.
But you know how much of that was click track of the live performance and using auto-tune, live performance.
Okay,
it broke my heart. And shattered the illusion. I thought, well, how does this guy get it so clean, so clear, so perfect every time? And then I went and looked at his engineer, and it's all there. And that kind of shattered the illusion somewhat. But then there are those that say, well, the big acts, the big international acts, their management and their will not let them perform live.
Yeah.
Forget about it. It's all click track, all backing track.
Yeah.
Because they say the chances of you not sounding like the commercial product if you go out and play live are too great. So obviously you're really bad. Let's not even go there.
Yeah,
let's continue talking about you because this is what it's all about. So you perform a lot of places and a lot of gigs. Do you have an agent?
No, I don't have an agent. I did have a few people that would book me for various gigs. So no, I've never had an agent, and I did have a guy who was helping me promote when I did my song Not Right. He helped promote the song, but for gigs-wise, no, I've always just done it myself.
So you've got to be a bit of a business brain as well to make a living out of you, because I've asked many folk in the industry and in sort of support capacity, can you make a living in South Africa out of music? And I think the jury is hung. Some say you can, but you've got to work really hard. Others say, no, it's more of a love project. You've got to have a large bank account and a trust fund, and then you can go and dabble. But you make a living out of your music.
I'm very, very happy you asked me this. And this is a topic that I really think I can add value to anyone listening out there, especially a musician. So the part about gigging and that is just a business. When someone messages you, you reply immediately, you're professional, you get an email in, you get a quote in, you reply to them and you keep it and you just be professional, just be on the ball. A lot of my gigs I've landed because other artists have been unprofessional, and the answer is 100% yes. You can make, for 10 years I did music full time. I'm still doing music full time. And I made enough money to enjoy doing nothing during the week. I just got very bored. But yes, you can make a living if you work hard, if you figure out the scene that you're in and figure out what works, and you're open to see what the crowd wants, and you realize that you're providing a service. You're not a diva. You're going there to add value to the venue that books you and to play the right songs. Then yes, you can be a success.
And we'll get onto that in terms of venues and how you're finding the current lineup and the situation on the other side of another tune by Gavin Ferguson, funnily enough. This one's called Not Right. Fabulous track from Gavin Ferguson, Not Right, on the Dave Charles Show. On the Dave Charles Show, the world feels small. And I just happened to be in conversation with Gavin Ferguson. How lekker is that? Wow. Gavin, we were speaking about being able to make a living out of being professional and delivering. And I think that that is absolutely bang on. Sadly, in our industry, or I have to talk about the entertainment industry, there have been extremely creative and extremely talented people that have failed to grasp that it's a business ultimately, where it can be just a jewel, but then you're not going to get anywhere. If you're operating as a sole prop and your product is your brand, you need to represent that brand at the highest level. And clearly you do. The tune we were listening to, you say you put a lot of money into the music video, and clearly that's what it takes to break through, because, well, it's so difficult to get original music to the market. How do you go about it?
Just hard work. So Googling every single radio station, looking up their email address, looking up their number, phoning and saying to the compiler, how's it, man? How you doing? Hope to send you some songs. Please give it a listen. Emailing. I just remember, as you asked that question, I just remembered days of sitting at my desk. What's the word when you just put in the song together, put in a, following the email, the website's regulations and stipulations for how they want the song, and then getting the producer to make the MP3 in that way. So it's a lot of hard work. And so
the music submission process, yes. Some guys make you jump through hoops.
Oh, they do, but it's good. I think it's good, because there's a lot of guys that just don't work hard on their music and won't jump those hoops, and they won't get their song played. So in a way, I think it's good to just siphon out who's serious and who's not. I think they do that for that reason.
Mm. Well, as you say, if you're serious about your craft, you will put in the effort, you'll do the hard miles, and the return is always there. You play quite frequently at the Lifestyle Center in Ballito, which is really where this interview is going now, because we've decided that we want to support and encourage local music in a big way, because generally speaking, it makes people happy. It creates a vibe. It just lifts the game, and it transcends the mundane. And the world that we live in, well, sometimes it's gorgeous to be lifted out of that by a tune that takes you somewhere, or a memory that sparks a smile, or a bit of a tear maybe from a song that's sad. And to do that, sometimes you need to play songs that aren't from your particular quiver, because you want to engage with, or do you frown on playing covers?
Oh no, I play. The Durban music scene is absolutely covers. You can. I don't think you can do as many shows without learning covers. So, as a songwriter who's got lots of songs, I've had to. At first, I was a bit opposed to it, and I realized if you want to be successful, you have to learn covers in Durban.
But I think it's universal, and I'll tell you why I say that. I can't think of a single big act, music-wise, going back over the years, that didn't start playing a certain number of other people's songs. Yeah. And the reason they did that, and they continue to, is because those songs that have already become popular already have a connection with an audience. And if you then take that song that is popular and start to play it in a style that is your own, then suddenly you enjoy the popularity. There's this connection. So they don't, you're not trying to introduce completely unknown material to a crowd that really wants to have a party or enjoy the occasion. And the same is with the theatre. I think most plays, if you look at the genesis of all stories, you can go right back to Shakespeare and then even earlier to the Greeks. And, you know, there are universal themes that keep coming around and around and around. And that's just human nature and human experience. So you are happy to play other people's songs if they resonate with you. Do you give them your own twist?
So I try and learn the song as close to the original as possible, but just naturally my own version comes out. So it's been both a blessing and a curse. So people love my interpretation when I actually am just trying to do it as close to the original. I've got a recipe where I play two covers, one original, two, three covers, one original. So some people don't even know I'm playing an original. And I generally gauge the response from crowds to see if that's a good original or not. Like Not Right, every time I play that, people would dance while I'm doing my very upbeat set. So I realize, okay, that's a good song. I'm going to work on it.
And what is your typical gig rig? What gear do you use?
So at the moment, I really, I've gone and sold all my two big 12, 15 inches, and I've just got forgot what you call it, but it's a Bose that's got a line array kind of system. So it's just one speaker I carry.
Pole.
Yes. So it's beautiful. I can carry all my gig in one trip, all my rig, and it's loud enough for like 100 to 200 people.
Technology, when it works, is fabulous.
Amazing.
Do you use any kind of augmented rhythm, or you say that you use a loop station, so you clearly are technologically astute there.
So I've gone back to nylon, and the reason is because you have the you don't snap as many strings when you're playing hard. Also, you can finger pick, you can do like the flamenco rhythms. So I found that's become my go-to now. So I take a nylon with me to all my gigs now.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
There are certain bands that, I mean, Willie Nelson's always played a nylon string guitar in his own ubiquitous way. But there's some really, really fabulous reasons to play a nylon string guitar. I wish people wouldn't phone me during my interview. It just knocks me out. But so your style is clearly, one-man band, but one-man band with style and pizzazz. And clearly you're a popular act, because if you weren't, you wouldn't get as regularly booked as you are. What is it looking like for the next couple of weeks for you?
So earlier on, I was looking at the calendar. So I'll be at Lifestyle on the 1st of April from 6 o'clock, 6 to 9. Can I punt other gigs?
Of course you can.
Then I'll be at the studio again on the 5th of April. Sorry, that is still here. And then the Sunday, I'll be at Camp Orchards playing from 10:30.
And are you available for private functions? If someone listening to this would like to book you to play for their special occasion.
So I love doing private parties. I've got a DJ that I work with, a young guy, and he plays exactly what the crowd wants. So he plays like... So what I do is I'll play before just to get the vibe. And then once people have started dancing, my DJ will take over to keep everyone just dancing right through the night. So we work as a good duo. Otherwise, I love private parties and canapé hours. They're quite nice.
So anyone listening to this wanting to book you, how would they go about that?
Very easy to find. You just look up Gavin Ferguson. Generally, my website comes up first. And Facebook, Instagram, But yeah, if you just look up Gavin Ferguson, you'll find it quite easily.
Easy as that.
Yeah.
And I recommend Gavin Ferguson as a musician that you can depend on for sure. Really good live performances, really good recorded music, and very special to have you on the Dave Charles Show on this happy Wednesday morning. It's almost afternoon, now 20 minutes to midday. Thanks so much for joining me, Gav.
Thank you. And yeah, the questions have been so great. I feel like those questions have added a lot of value to people listening, especially musicians. Hope they get inspired by some of the answers I've given.
Well, there it is. And we're going to be playing out with guess who? It's Gavin Ferguson. Never know.